Chicago baseball conversation on the new flagship home of the Sox, 720 WGN.
534, good afternoon. Carmen Harry with you, White Sox Weekly. Hope everybody's having a great Saturday. I will fade down the sound. Thank you, Curtis. Appreciate that. I'm still learning over here, only a couple years in the business. Harry, good to see you again.
It's always good to see you, Carmen, be here, and it's the start of a new season. We have been looking forward to this White Sox season for quite a while. They lose today. It's spring training, so the score really doesn't matter. There were good things. There were bad things. I was not happy with Carson Fulmer walking two guys consecutively and giving up two runs. I noted Dave Zaslavsky, executive producer of White Sox Baseball, pointed out how he has de-chubbified himself. And
excuse me?
Carson Fulmer's lost weight.
Carson has
de-chubbified
himself. I see.
Is that a shot at Zaz?
I didn't know where you were going. I just was a little confused. Okay, I got it now. Thank you.
See, he's been on a rigorous off-season workout program, but he's still walking guys. And you can't walk guys if you want to be on the big club.
So this is where you don't want to buy into all the talk in the offseason. I think it's great that Carson's in better shape. Mm-hmm. I think it's fantastic that Lucas Giolito is doing some elite stuff to play with his mind.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to see how this plays out over the course of a season. You hear positive stories all over the place. Guys are in phenomenal shape. Guys are eating plant-based food. Guys are doing
plant-based
more,
food.
Guys are doing more yoga. Guys are doing Pilates. Let's just see what happens on the field.
You know why it's the best time of year, Carm? Because everybody's tied for first.
That's true. Hope springs eternal. I get it. Carson Fulmer, by the way, came on in the first inning today. Don Roach did not get out of the first inning.
No.
So he went 1-3. Fulmer gave up a hit, a couple of runs. He walked one. So, I was not watching the baseball game today because it wasn't on the old television. So judging by listening on the radio, it didn't sound like Fulmer at his best stuff. By the way, Adam Hogue is out in the desert. We might check in with him coming up here. We started with Manny Machado. And I just want to remind everybody, remind myself, here are the biggest contracts, okay, in the history of baseball.
Yes.
All right?
I bet I know who's got the biggest.
Do you? I don't think you do.
The biggest contract of all time?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be former White Sox catcher Mark Hill?
No. Giancarlo Stanton.
I was going to say, Mom told me, always stick with your first instinct.
Right, Giancarlo Stanton, $325 million. We're looking at total dollars here. The Marlins ended up punting on Giancarlo Stanton.
Yes, and he had some ugly thoughts from the Marlins this week.
Right, okay. So I'm going to guess, by the way, that at some point in time, the San Diego Padres are going to punt on Manny Machado. That's just my guess. Alex Rodriguez, $275 million, $252
million. Right, but part of that deal, remember, was J-Lo. So it's, really a good signing for A-Rod.
Yeah, so the first time he got $252 million from the Rangers, Texas was in a bad spot. He put up huge numbers for him, but they ended up punting on Alex Rodriguez.
That was the moronic Rangers front office.
That's true.
That kept bidding against themselves.
That's true.
They were the only team really in the fight, and they kept bidding against themselves.
Right. Okay. Yeah, and then they moved on from him, even though he was putting up big numbers, could have arguably been an MVP. Mm-hmm. But then the Yankees doubled down, $275 million. That contract was super ugly at the end. The Yankees wanted out from Alex Rodriguez for years before it was finally over.
Yeah. Well, I remember when Kevin Brown had the biggest contract in baseball.
That was a nightmare, too. Miguel Cabrera, $248 million with the Detroit Tigers, an 8-year extension. Miguel Cabrera can barely walk right now. He's on the books for the Tigers for this year for $30 million. Next year, $30 million. 2020. Excuse me, $30 million. 2021, $30 million. 2022, $32 million.
Right.
I mean, those contracts kill you.
Who's the latest Jerry Reinsdorf acquisition in the world of basketball? Otto Porter Jr. He has the player option of $28 million next year, right?
Yeah, but it's a 2-year deal.
So I'm saying the guy, you pay people.
Totally different base basketball, but yes.
Okay, I mean, look, okay, so the John McDonough theory is if you want these guys now, when the Angels signed Albert Pujols, they knew he wouldn't be walking in the ninth year and the 10th year. But the Angels also wanted Pujols' bat at the time because it was lethal.
Okay, right. And that didn't work out from day one. Literally from day one. Cubs and Alfonso Soriano, huge contract. Didn't work out at all. Cubs and Jason Hayward, complete disaster. Ooh. Cubs and Yu Darvish, disaster. I mean, these are all long-term deals are very, very dangerous.
Mm-hmm. That's why Jerry Reinsdorf really does them.
Right, and sometimes, look, if you're on the verge, I get it. And I get what the Padres are doing, too. They've got a ton of talent coming. I get why the White Sox were in on it. And who knows? Maybe the White Sox will rue the fact they didn't step up and meet the $300 million and bring him to Chicago. I'm going to bet, my personal bet is that that won't be the case. You got a guy, now he's saying all the right things right now. He wants to play. He's willing to play third base. He's going to be a mentor. He's all about the W. So I personally did not like that he wanted to play shortstop. You're not a shortstop, man. You're a great third baseman. You're not a shortstop. The whole hustling thing is a little off-putting for myself. 312-981-7200, by the way, the phone number. What do you got over there, Harry?
I'm just laughing because I'm reading this Albert Bell article. At the time that the White Sox signed Albert Bell in 96, Reinsdorf, the story is Reinsdorf went to Frank and said, Frank, we're one hitter away. Who should we get? And he said, get Albert Bell.
Yep.
The White Sox gave him the richest contract in baseball history. 5 years, $55 million.
Right, and part of the reason why he did that at the time was because of the strike, and it was his way of, quote-unquote, getting back at the other owners. Okay, you want to play this way? Fine, I'll go out and sign Albert Bell. Unfortunately, Albert Bell wasn't exactly the ideal model citizen when he wore a White Sox uniform or any other uniform.
He was Joey.
Yeah. Hey, experience a game this season from the Goose Island, the newest addition to Guarantee Right Field. The area in right field features a variety of seating options, including field-level views, group party areas, and individual seating. For more information, call 312-674-1000 or visit WhiteSox.com. Let me also mention, if he was here, it would be exciting that Manny Machado was a White Sox, and you were get to see him 162 days. It would be exciting, but it's also like, do I want to eat sugar all day now and pay later, or do I want to have some nice apples and some high protein, low fat chicken and do the right thing every day, and then I'm gonna really reap the rewards down the line. Let the guys come up. Let's see what bargains, what deals make sense down the line. This is not the end of the world.
Well, I'm a sugar-loving SOB, and I wanted Machado here, but we will do the best we can. Hey, Gio Gonzalez might be on the way for the third time to the South Side.
I don't mind. Hey, Gio Gonzalez, Dallas Keuchel.
He's a Cy Young winner. Sox fans, single-game tickets are on sale right now. Join us for an exciting 2019 season filled with great giveaways and promotions all season long. Lower-level tickets start at just $20. Visit WhiteSox.com to purchase your tickets today.
Going to hear from Ricky Renteria in about 5 minutes, but first, Ken, you've been waiting patiently. Welcome to White Sox Weekly on 720 WGN. Go ahead. Ken, hang on. No, Ken, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going?
Yeah, buddy, go ahead.
Hey, thanks for putting me on, guys. This whole contract thing, I'm so glad the Sox did not go through with it, that they put incentives on it, because, like you guys mentioned, all these big contracts, and these guys go up lame after a while.
A lot of risk, Ken, for sure.
There's too much risk in it, and then I was hearing on the sports radio, like, oh, you're this far in, what's another $50 million? I'm like, really? Is it your $50 million you're throwing in? Well, I couldn't believe it. I don't think any player is worth this kind of money. I'm old school. I still remember when Walter Payton asked for $1 million back in the day, and, old man Hala said, no way, no player is worth $1 million. But if anybody was ever worth it, it was Walter Payton.
Yeah,
no doubt.
Thanks, Ken. Old man Halas was wrong about that one. And look, I think it's great that players make tons of dough. It's incredibly hard to get to where they get. They're the ones that put the butts in the seats. Nobody's coming out there to see the owners. Players should make what they make. That being said, you're trying to build a baseball team.
Harper might get more.
Harper is going to get more.
Right, and John Middleton, the owner of the Phillies, went to Vegas to meet with Bryce Harper. I heard they were at the Rio playing some craps, and he is right now the Phillies seem to be the leading candidate there. As far as, you know, the White Sox, they've now got like this buffet of free agents to choose from.
Yeah, and they've got all the dough in the world. So, look, Rakan will, as he comes back from being upset, I think at some point this year we're going to see a big smile on Rick Hahn's face with all the plethora of options that will be available to him.
Plethora.
Good word, right? Hey, let's hear from the skipper coming up here. Ricky Renteria sat down with Adam Hoge. Nobody has heard this. It is a one-on-one interview. It's very solid. We're going to do that next. To Hoge and Renteria on White Sox Weekly, 720 WGN.
You're listening to White Sox Weekly on the home of the Sox, 720 WGN.
2019 premium seating is available for full or partial season packages. Each area is unique and allows you to enjoy high-end amenities and the best view of the ballpark. Call 312-674-1000 for information. Carmen Harry on 720 WGN.
I love the Pick 10 plan. You pick them with the Pick 10 plan, starting at just $129. Access to every game, every opponent, for an affordable price of $129. Visit WhiteSox.com to pick your plan today.
So we're going to get to Ricky Renteria in a matter of moments here, Harry. But I just want to... want to give congratulations, if I may.
Yes.
So one of the greatest coaches in all of college basketball resides out at St. Francis University in beautiful Joliet. You know what I'm talking about?
That's Coach Ryan Marks.
That is Coach Ryan Marks. The conference tournament was this week. They were a lower seed.
Yeah, how did the Fighting Saints do?
The Fighting Saints pulled off an upset against the number one seed in round one. And then the semis were Thursday night against Roosevelt University on the old in the loop there.
Uh-huh.
The Lakers. So I went out and watched the game. Phenomenal basketball game. Great environment. Like, I just loved it.
I love that feeling when the place is packed.
Yeah, the Saints pull off a come from behind win to advance to the finals, and the final just happened this afternoon. Against the governor or something. I don't know who they played, but it was
Governor State?
Right, something like that. 59-54 winner for the Saints and Coach Marks, and they are on to the tournament.
Nice. Congrats, so, Coach Marks.
So, a big-time congrats to Rhino Ball. And just got a very eclectic squad. Their point guard's like 5'4". Dude gets in the lane, doing all sorts of things. They got some guys from Australia who have a little bit of the Dennis Rodman gene in them, going to the hoop, talking a lot of smack.
There was an Australian All-Star on the NBA squad for the first time this year.
Australian All-Star on the...
Yeah, Sixers.
Oh. Sorry there, Harry.
That's okay. So, Coach Ryan Marks, congrats. We're very, very proud of you.
On to South Dakota.
Yes. Of course, what is the great Seven Wonder that is in South Dakota?
Is that the Badlands?
The Badlands are in South Dakota, but it's also Mount Rushmore.
Oh, right, of course. Well, maybe Marks will get his photo up on Mount Rushmore alongside MJ.
Yes. Who would you think would be the Mount Rushmore of the White Sox next World Series team?
I mean, it's got to be Eloy, right? Who's going to be on the program coming up here? But let's get to the manager, Ricky Renteria, who sat down with Adam Hoge. And look, the rebuild is the rebuild. But Ricky would love to get an opportunity to manage a club that is ready to compete. The skipper is certainly waiting on that.
Well, when we came in, obviously, a lot of changes were occurring. We always talk about wanting to win and how we're going to go about doing that. We're in a stage now where I think we have guys that have been at the major league level with us from within and guys that have come from the outside for a couple years now. I think they're getting to the point now where they're changing the direction and understanding the direction that we're trying to go in. So it's a mindset that you have to try to create. It's a mindset that they have to own. We are now in a pivotal point in where we're at as an organization, I believe, in that we've got guys that have been improving that are now taking on the mantle of trying to understand what it's going to take to put us over the top. So it's taken a couple years, but the acquisitions, the moves that the front office have made, those men in the room starting to you know, basically take on the mantle or the responsibility of knowing that there's more than just being here. It's about truly, at the end of the day, trying to win. And I think it's a process, obviously winning is a result, but I think they're starting to understand what it is that they need to do in order to give themselves the best chance individually and then put it together collectively so that we can have some success.
Right. It seems like it's a pivotal year for some of these players, too. I mean, to drive the organizational change as well. Maybe one of those guys is Yoan Moncada. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of fascinated by his move to, or potential move to third base. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of times when we talked to you last season, the word focus came up. And you said something yesterday that caught my ear, because it just sort of natural playing third base versus second. The ball gets on you so much faster. You have to be focused, right?
There's no time at third base to allow for a laissez-go approach. Ball gets on you. There are a lot of things. There are nuances to playing third. There's nuances to playing any position in the field, but you don't have time to have lapses. It can affect adversely the outcome, as it can at second base or short or any other position on the field. It's about hopefully putting him in a position with that he's done successfully well before, although be it at the amateur level, of which he's let me know that he's been able to have success.
I heard about that.
I think that being able to do that, maybe creating that focus just by a positional change, knowing that he has a chance of being able to play that position very well, maybe that focus that is existing there will translate now to the box. Now, he has a great eye. He does have a great focus in his at-bats. Just expanding his ability to do a few more things there while still staying within himself.
Yeah, is it a matter of kind of having to just change your approach based on the count a little bit more? Because he's shown a great eye and patience at the plate, but then sometimes that will lead to a lot of strikeouts, especially of the looking variety.
Yeah, I think that more than anything, you don't want to take a guy that has the type of eye that he has, take him outside of himself. I think what you try to have him do is manage situations a little better. Where you might say, you know, some might say, well, I'll never want him to expand outside of the zone. Well, there are some pitches outside of the zone that you can hammer pretty well. It's all relative to position and location. And I think situations will dictate, for me, sometimes a little bit more of an approach that might put you in a situation where might just want to put the ball in play, which will create something productive. Not all at-bats are the same. Every situation is different. I think that the experience he had last year, he wants to do well. Everybody also has to understand that his batting average with balls in play in the zone was through the roof. It was over 450, I believe, last year. So once he gets a pitch he can manage and it's a strike, he does a lot with it. We don't want to lose that, but we do want him to just continue to expand his understanding of situational hitting that can lead to potentially productivity.
Jose Abreu has been such a big part of this organization, both in terms of his production, but just his value within the entire clubhouse as well. But does his role change at all this year with Yonder Alonso arriving, or is that just a matter of you writing up the lineup differently sometimes?
His role is probably enhanced by the additions. He's our first baseman. You know, Yonder comes in also being a really good first baseman. He's going to give us the flexibility. Both of them are going to give us the flexibility of being able to do a couple of different things. I think matchups will play a role in some of the situations with Yonder. But for the most part, now you're looking at a guy that's either going to play first or DH, or the other guy that's going to play first or DH, depending on where we're at physically. They talk to each other. They know each other very, very well. Both of them are willing to do whatever it takes to help this club win ball games. I think that it gives us quite a bit of flexibility. There will be moments when there are going to be matchups that don't bode well, possibly maybe for a lefty or whatever the case might be. And then if there's times where we need to give Pito some rest, maybe he'll take it. Or, you know, that DH slot gives him a little bit of a room to stay off his feet, but it still keeps his bat in the lineup. I think all those acquisitions that we've made enhance us in general, both in the clubhouse and between the lines on the field.
I could pick your brain on a lot of your players, especially your young pitchers. Let's just maybe pick Carlos Rodon.
Yeah.
Guy who at times last season, once he got going, looked completely dominant.
Yep.
Like no one could hit him.
Yep.
And then there was other times where he struggled a little bit. Is consistency just what you're looking for this season from him?
Absolutely. I think the stuff as everyone saw once he came back from the recovery of the repair, the cleaning up that they did in his shoulder, was solid. You see a different arm action with Carlos. His arm is loose. He feels no discomfort. I mean, he's throwing with a lot of confidence. From a physical standpoint, if you're not feeling good, it's kind of hard to find that confidence. He feels good, you know, physically speaking. I will say, he, to his credit, you know, he had a really good run, and then toward the end, he had a little bit of a wall. To his credit, he never blamed anybody. He didn't, you know, he thought, you know, he didn't blame it on fatigue or anything of that nature. I would say that after having gone through the process and everything that he had gone through, he probably did hit a little wall of fatigue. But, you know, he continued to try to work through it and do everything he could. Fortunately for us, the thing we were looking for was him to come out of that ultimately out of that season healthy, which he did. And now we're looking for Carlos to just remain as consistent as possible, trust and use the stuff that he has, which is really, really effective. One of the best in the game probably last year, as everybody saw, and I forget how many he threw out there that were excellent starts. But maybe that's a part of what we hope he will be able to do and continue this upcoming season.
Last thing for you, the Manny Machado thing was more outside the building, especially once you guys all got here to Arizona. It seemed like you were really trying to keep it about the White Sox here inside the building. How have the guys handled it since Tuesday when the news came out that he wasn't coming here?
You know what? I think just like anybody, you have some guys in there that were close to the young man that were hoping, along with Manny, that he would possibly become a part of who we are. But it didn't happen. I think that the guys turned the page quickly. You have to. You can't waste time on things that you know, aren't going to happen. I think, honestly, that we were preparing for our season, to be quite frank, without him in the lineup, because I have a lot of guys in there that are preparing for the season. And like anybody, myself included, we make adjustments when things change. And so for us, it would have been us just making an adjustment to an addition. Right now, those guys have been preparing to be without him since the beginning, so there's no real big adjustment to be made. Maybe some emotions through, you know, some of the people that he knew in that room that were hoping that might have been a possibility, but we move on and do what we do.
Do you like Tim Anderson's response? I don't know if you saw it.
I've kind of wind of it a little bit.
It was a confident response.
I absolutely love it. I think I know which one you're talking about. Absolutely. Do I like it? No, I love it.
It's good. Well, a lot of people need to be reminded there's still plenty of talent coming here.
Oh,
real fast.
We got a lot of talent. It's coming fast. As I mentioned, I think this is a pivotal year for the organization. It's a pivotal year for the club that we have right now in camp. The acquisitions that Rick has made and the additions he's bringing to the table put us in a much more competitive nature within the clubhouse and on the field. You know, we do the best we can collectively. It's never going to be about one person. It can't be. Teams win championships. I know these are all cliches. Individuals don't. It's team. And that's what we're going to try and continue to do.
Well, it's going to be a fun year.
I hope so.
Manager Ricky Renteria, thank you for your time.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Sox lost in the desert today, the Cactus League opener, 7-6 to the Los Angeles Dodgers. This guy was in left field. He won't be here playing left field at the start of the season, but he'll be here eventually, and he'll be an all-star several times. Speaking of which, the NBA did something this past weekend that Major League Baseball, I've been asking them to do for about 15 years. So right now, we'll talk about that later, but right now let's hear Adam Hoge visiting with Eloy Jimenez, and he began his interview by asking him, Eloy, how the heck do I say your name?
All right, I want to start with your name. We got to get this right for White Sox fans. It's Eloy, right?
Eloy. Yeah.
That's correct? All right, good. Because it's important that everyone gets it right going forward, right?
Yeah, but it doesn't matter how you pronounce my name. Like, you can say Eloy, and I'm not going to get mad.
Not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we want to get it right on the radio for you. All right.
Jimenez. Yes. Because sometimes you guys call me Jimenez, and it's Jimenez.
Jimenez.
Yeah.
All right. I want to ask you a pretty basic question.
Okay.
How sweet is it to hit a home run?
Oof. is really sweet. I don't know. It's something like you enjoy. Yeah, that's how I see it.
Is there a pitcher that you faced at the minor league level that was particularly enjoyable for hitting a home run off of?
All of them. Yeah, all of them.
So Dylan Cease told me that when he sees you, he calls you mi amor.
Yeah.
My love.
Yeah.
When did that start? Was it when you guys were with the Cubs together?
Yeah. Like, it's been like, this is the 4 year, I guess. Yeah. We started like joke around, like, you bonito, yeah, you beautiful and all the stuff. And after we started to say, hey mi amor, how are you? And all the stuff, like mi amor is kinda like bro for us. Okay. You know. It's been really good.
What was it like coming over with him together in a trade? And have you guys kind of maintained that relationship together?
Yeah, it's been, like, amazing. Like, spend time with him. No, you got to trade with someone you know, especially with him because he's a special kid. I'm really proud. I know him.
Would it be extra special if you guys both ended up in Chicago at some point this season together?
It's going to be special because we kind of grow up together in the same organization, and that's part of the dream. You play with someone you know, and I think it's going to be awesome if we play together this year in the big leagues.
I was here last year in Arizona when you hit that home run off the Cubs in the spring training game. It seems like you like to play them.
Yeah. I don't know why, but I like to play them. Yeah.
Well, it makes sense. They're the team that traded you.
Yep.
Get a little extra motivation. That, so far, I mean, even though that was a spring training game, was that one of your one of the moments that you think back on and remember a lot?
Yeah. That was one, and double A two. But it's like I enjoy all of them. I remember all of them.
So what is left for you to accomplish in your mind? What do you need to get better at, I guess? What are you still working on to improve before you get to Chicago?
I've been working in defense, run the bases, and learn about more the strike zone. You know, that's like I'm working out every day.
Do you have a preference between left or right field?
Nah. If I'm in the lineup, it's okay. Like playing in the corners, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's okay.
How much pride do you put in your defensive part of your game?
Like before, not much. I'm just focusing hitter, like be a good hitter, like every time. Now I'm focused be a completely player. Yeah, I'm trying to work like how I work hitting, you know.
Is that something you had to learn to realize that you had to get better defensively to be able to make it to the major leagues?
I think so, yeah. It's one of the parts that we need to, if we want to be in the lineup every day and you don't want to get out in the eighth inning, for no play defense, I think that is why I'm like practice more in my defensive part.
You got a good arm?
It's okay. Yeah.
We'll have to see that arm. How much time have you spent in Chicago so far? Not much time, right?
Not much time. I've been in Chicago a lot, but like just for 10 days, 15 days, 5 days, mm-hmm. 3 days. But I like when I started playing, I go like before I'm signed, I go like four times, I guess. Yeah, it was one of the city visited more.
How excited are you then to be able to play baseball there when you make it there, and to be able to play in front of White Sox fans in such a big stadium?
I'm super excited. I can't wait. Mm-hmm. Because it's one of the my favorite cities, and also I say before time when I was a kid, I want to play in Chicago, because all the fans are crazy with both teams, with the Cubs or the White Sox.
Even when you were a kid?
Yeah. I say I want to play in Chicago.
You just like Chicago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's cold, but...
Yeah. Not in the summer, though. The summer is great. Trust me.
Yeah, I know. I've been in the summertime.
So you always wanted to play in Chicago, even as a kid. That's pretty cool. All right, well, what is one thing that you think White Sox fans should know about you?
They need to know I'm going to do my best to try to get championships. No one, no two, multiples championships.
Well, they're gonna like to hear that.
Yep.
Now, I'm sure we're going to see you in Chicago pretty soon. Looking forward to it. Thanks for the time.
Thanks you, man.
So there is Adam Hogue with Babe Ruth. I mean Eloy Jimenez.
Eloy. Yes.
Eloy Jimenez. See, he needs to care about how people say his name. I mean, what is the people called you, like, I don't know, Hyrie? like that would be wrong. Or I'm sure people get your last name wrong. What do they do instead of Tynowitz?
Tynowitz.
Right, Tynowitz. Yeah. That's not okay.
I don't get...
Eloy.
I don't get the way guys wait like 3 years and then they say something.
Well, everybody wants to just be liked and get along, and they don't want to rock the boat. Hey, right. Man, my name is Eloy.
Yeah, I mean, look, his priority is delivering on the field. So with that comes the people learning his name. But one of I know this is like a pet peeve of mine and a former partner, we'll just call him Mac. There's a guy that went into the Hall of Fame last year, and people in Chicago still mispronounce his name. Brian Urlacher. It's the easiest name to pronounce correctly because it rhymes with his position.
I love Urlacher.
Urlacher, linebacker. And people call him Urlacher all the time.
Hurt Locker, Urlacher.
And Brian Urlacher obviously doesn't care.
By the way, that interview with Eloy Jimenez is sponsored by Mazda of Orland Park.
Zoom, zoom.
ZoomZoomNation.com. That's right. Harry, where they're always trying to make your car shopping fun. That was a great job by Adam.
Yes.
And we're all looking forward to seeing Eloy.
And I'm glad that Adam was able to gather himself emotionally after having to say goodbye to Cody Parkey.
That was tough. We're going to talk about that coming up when we get to Carmen Harry after 6:30. Hey, the White Sox Newborn Club is the perfect gift for the newest member of your family.
You can give a newborn?
You can. The package includes, you get a Southpaw onesie and a hat, a White Sox bib, and a customized White Sox birth certificate. Purchase yours today at whitesox.com/newborn.
Bring a group out for a game in 2019 and receive specially priced tickets along with a great experience. The White Sox have options for school outings, nonprofit organizations, and special occasions. So call 312-674-1000 for information.
See, I don't know if Bob Grimm or Scott Reifert or Brooks Boyer are listening, but I'm thinking about getting married, Harry, this summer.
I believe you are getting married.
Yes, I am getting... I'm thinking about getting married this summer.
Oh, okay.
And not the fall.
Okay.
And so what we were perhaps thinking about doing...
Yes?
...was having it on July the 5th, which is a Friday, in the fourth week, so it's not really a Friday. And the next day, the White Sox actually don't play that day. On the 6th, which is a Saturday, they play the Chicago Cubs.
Right, and that's why, for people listening going, Carm is nuts, how could they not play on a Friday? It's because they have a two-game set with the Cubs.
Which is very odd, by the way. That should be a three-game set, but whatever. We don't make the schedule. That's what's going on. So I was thinking about perhaps bringing the post-wedding party group out to Cubs Sox. What do you think?
I think you should get married at home plate. Why wouldn't you just get married at the park? Why is the ceremony not going to be? Roger Bosser doesn't set up a nice field.
I mean, I don't know why we couldn't, you know, put a hoopah up at home plate and live the dream. Why not?
Yeah, you know,
it's got to be done before. Didn't they do it in Bull Durham?
Yeah, and I believe when the Royals are in town, it's hoopah night.
Why the Royals? Am I missing something?
I don't know. Yeah. They just came to mind.
Okay, so we'll do it against Kansas City because I used to work in Kansas City.
I heard that.
By the way, if we're not going to do it at Guaranteed Rate Field,
Baskin Robbins.
Baskin Robbins would be good. I went to the Intercontinental today.
Oh,
very nice spot.
Yes,
you know it spoke to me, Harry, because you got the Michael Jordan Steakhouse.
Spoke to you and said, "Have Chelsea pay for this?"
Right, you got that part too. You got the Jordan Steakhouse in there. Like the elevators are like.
Is Rokan sponsoring your wedding?
Room 23, floors 23 to 30. There's like 23 is everywhere.
My little brother
got so turned on.
My little brother had his bar mitzvah at Intercontinental.
Did he really?
Yeah,
that's upper level family.
Oh, it's God bless him.
Yeah. All right. Quick time out here. We'll wrap up White Sox Weekly next. 720 WGN.